Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
It's like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Hello, welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 10 March 2021. Now, I want to tell you that at the beginning, this program is a pre-recorded broadcast because I have two guests on today that cannot make it in the evening. We're going to talk to our first guest. Guest is Jonathan Alexander with Liberty Council. We're going to discuss the Equality Act, H.J.R. 5. Now, what's going to mean to the church? And the bomb there, we're going to bring up John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. And anybody that's been around at all knows who John Whitehead is. So we got today. As I said, this is a pre-recording. It's going to be played Wednesday night on the 10th. So if, don't try to call in because we won't be there live, all right? And we are, and of course, we'll be in office Thursday, which will be tomorrow when you hear this program. You will be in office all day from 9 to 4. Love to hear from you. If you have any questions, comments, want to place an order, anything you want to do, you can call us toll-free if you don't have long distance at 800-777-4403. If you have long distance, you can save us a few dollars a month if you'll call us on your phone at 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. We only have two specials going this month right now. We have a 2-for-1. It's still with REM Sleep and Tranquil. Folks, these products, you really, if you're having a hard time sleeping, REM Sleep is a product that you need to have. It's all completely natural. It's things your body uses all the time. But in this case, it's put together in a combination to help you rest. It doesn't make you rest. It doesn't make you sleep. It lets you sleep. And it's really a beautiful product. And the Tranquil, if you're stressed out during the day, this is something that you need to look into also. But two bottles for $38.95, that includes postage delivered to your house. And in 1828 Webster's Dictionary is on special this month only. Regular price is $95. Folks, got them on sale for $79.95. They give us a special deal on a few of them, so we got them. $79.95. Beautifully bound green hardcover book with green cover with gold lettering and the original copy of the 1828 Webster Dictionary. What a beautiful book, and that's the only book I will use as a dictionary. I don't use a modern-day dictionary because the words don't mean the same any longer. And I use that and a Strong Concordance as my study guides when I'm studying the Bible. Those are my two main references to study scriptures. The King James Bible, Strong Concordance, and the 1820 Dictionary, that's what I use to stay with. So I want to sell it for $79.95. So if you want one, you give us a call, 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. And if you listen to the program on shortwave, you listen on shortwave because Melody Seastrom with Discount Gold and Silver is paying for the airtime, folks. You need to call her to plan for your future, and I do mean that, at 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188. Our guest today is Jonathan Alexander. Gentlemen, I got to meet in person and his wife. It's been, a couple of years now going along that, a year and a half. He kind of spoke to us at one of our Bible studies. A fantastic young gentleman, a lawyer. Fantastic young man who was called to become what he is because his daddy was a preacher, and he knew one day that he had to defend his daddy in court. Now, folks, you can say what you want to say. This day is fast approaching. It truly is. It's already happened in a lot of places. But if the Equality Act passes the Senate and it's signed by Trump, but Biden, we're going to see the times that I'll probably be arrested, because if you speak against homosexuals, transgenders, or any other kind of pervert, you're going to be up for a hate crime. And that is a fact. And Jonathan Alexander, welcome to today's broadcast. I appreciate you. Come on in.
Thank you so much for having me, Pastor Butch. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, right back at you, my friend. It really is. It's so nice to get to have dinner with you and your wife that time a year and a half ago. I enjoyed that so much. We're going to have you back down again sometime this summer. We're going to do it for sure. But what we're facing right now is something that I knew could happen. Back in the late 90s, when I started radio back in 93, back in 95, 96, they were pushing gay rights. And that's when Clinton started the don't ask, don't tell in the military. And I told people, if we ever get to the point that we accept this to be normal, before you know it, they'll make marriage between two sodomites, two lesbians, legal. They'll become families that can adopt children, and you will be the outsider. And one day they'll have rights greater than yours. And I said that, and it's happened. And not because I'm kind of a special man, but it happened. What's going on with this Equality Act? Tell us, John, what that's going to mean to you and I, and other Christians, especially preachers on the radio and everywhere else. What's it going to mean to us?
Yeah, well, this bill targets Christians in every area of life. It takes the LGBT agenda, full-throated, full-throttle LGBT agenda, and attaches it to federal enforcement, which means it puts the entire weight of the federal government pushing now the LGBT agenda. Like you were saying, we're back in the 80s and the 90s, and even in the early 2000s, you know, the agenda was always there, but in the recesses of their private spaces and not necessarily out in our schools and certainly not in the communities and things like that. But now it is putting the full force of federal government saying that you must bow down to the dictates of the LGBT agenda. And they cover every area of life. You mentioned pastors, but not just preaching from the pulpit. Anyone who has a shop, whether it's a brick and mortar shop that has employees, even folks that are working from home, that are simply logging on to eBay or to Etsy and putting their products online, it has to do with those employers. It has to do with schools and bathrooms and shelters and counselors, parents and children. If you're a landlord and you have tenants within your own home, you know, an extra mother-in-law suite that you rent out to tenants, it'll affect you, small business owners. I mean, there is no area of public life, no area to which we interact with one another, that the LGBT agenda will not try to push this on individuals. And once again, it puts the force of federal government behind it in order to get that agenda accomplished.
Well, what would that mean to churches? Will churches still be able to say you cannot work in this agenda, or Christian schools, will they be able to say you can't work here if you're a homosexual or a lesbian or a transgender? I mean, you know, we're talking about sexual perversion here. We're not talking about something normal. This is perversion. This is evil. This is death penalty type of crime in the Bible, Old and New Testament both. This is why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. This is what's happened to in our nation today that once was a godly nation, Jonathan. It makes me angry that my grandchildren are going to grow up in this mess.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And to your point about churches, so this is the first bill of its kind to ever attack the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which means no church is able to stand up and make a claim in court against this using the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And what it does, the line in the bill that applies to public accommodation applies to churches as well. So they will interpret public accommodations, which historically used to be hotels or restaurants or gas stations on the interstate highways. That's basically what public accommodations used to be. But this bill expands it to mean any gathering. This means a gathering within your church. This means a gathering on your own property. This means a gathering on a private property. It means a gathering in a park. Any
a gathering in private property, you mean your home?
On your private property is how far they want to expand the implications of this law within your private home.
So if we had a church Bible study at where you had before, at Fields House, they could come in and try to take over, and we couldn't say anything lawfully about it?
Well, all you would need to happen is one individual there that hears of your Bible study going on, says, hey, I want to join this Bible study, and, you know, in drag dress or however way they seek to present themselves. And you say, well, you know, for the purposes of this Bible study, we're keeping this for folks that are believers and that, you know, folks that want to dress and act in a manner consistent with the Bible. That person would now have a claim against you for holding a gathering but not allowing their behavior to be in full expression, whether or not they were invited to it. That's how expansive this law is. And a way to sort of put this in parentheses, it's anything that you can't do with regard to race, you can't do with regard to the LGBT agenda. So how pervasive the application of civil rights have been in saying, you know, public accommodation in schools and such, you must accommodate it. It's taking that same force of law and that same historical context, but now applying it to every gathering, that it would be discrimination to not have that individual represented in your gathering, however they seek to define gathering.
Well, you know me quite a while now, and I detest racism. I don't care, and I'm quite honest, Jonathan, that blacks are more racist than whites are. And that's where it's been lately, you know that. Everything we do is bad because we're white. But the point of it is, this is the whole point of the whole thing of the civil rights movement. If I owned a business, that's my business. I can discriminate if I want to. That's my business. That's, I own it. But whenever you let the government come in and give you a license and tell you how to run it, then as long as your business. Well, churches are no longer independent either. 501c3, most of them, they are under the IRS code, so they're under federal control. Now, but again, take it, but even further, if we have it in our own home,
right?
And that's unbelievable.
And so people will say, well, that's not true. You know, it's talking big. That's never going to really happen. Well, I'll ask them to look at the times that you're living in right now. Did not COVID-imbued sheriffs and police open the doors of homes, kick out folks from Bible studies? Hasn't the government already infiltrated your home in the past year?
Absolutely.
And they've done so clearly and easily on private property, within driveways of home, broken up parties, broken up meetings.
And find people in the church's parking lot sitting in a car listening to a sermon. You find them $500 apiece.
Exactly. So for folks to think that the government, now imbued with the force of the LGBT agenda, won't be applying that same expansive approach to your own private property is frankly naive. It's naivety if someone says that does not actually happen. It will happen, and it will be part of this agenda that they seek to expand in every areas of our life. They want your children at school, and the sex ed curriculums will have them. They want your families in these areas of public spaces, your daughters to shower with men, folks of the opposite sex that claim to be women. They already have those areas. The next step for them to infiltrate is the churches and in your homes, and this is exactly what this bill gives them.
Well, it's amazing. Businesses can kick you off for not wearing a mask, but they can't kick you off coming in dressed like a woman and going in the women's bathroom.
That's a good point. You know, that's exactly right.
That is absolutely, absolutely unforgivable and unacceptable. I don't know where this is going to lead to, Jonathan. Like I said, you know, we know each other quite a while, and I'm not a violent person, but I promise you, if a man walks by, follow my wife or my granddaughter into the bathroom, this old hillbilly preacher going in after him.
Yeah, no, yeah. And we've seen that. We've seen and have represented folks, you know, most recently a young lady who, this is her days before her wedding, she's trying on her wedding dress, and she's in the dressing room, and the attendant there is helping her in and out of her dress. She's, you know, dressed down all the way to her bra and panties while this attendant is helping her get in and out of her clothes. It wasn't until the end of this wedding dress session that she realized that it was a man the entire time, looking at her, helping her put on her dress, zipping up her dress.
Touching her.
Absolutely, to help her get into these dresses. This is one of our clients that thankfully is bold and able to share her experience. But imagine if that was her, you know, imagine if that was your 10-year-old daughter trying on a bridesmaid's gown, and there wasn't a male in there to raise the question and the fear that she would have of speaking out, and then the father being arrested if he tries to do anything to defend his daughter, and then the business owner being arrested because he's being discriminatory for not hiring this individual. I mean, I want to paint that picture just to demonstrate how pervasive this law is, how vast in its application they want it to be. And it's not just whimsical thinking. These things have actually happened, documented with clients that we're now defending on issues similar to this.
And folks, I'm going to ask you, and I understand the disgust and the frustration and the time we wasted calling our senators saying, don't support this bill, don't do it. And believe me, I know. Generally, when you talk to a senator, congressman, unless they have a huge outpouring of calls, they ignore you and do what they want to do, or they go to the side their bread's buttered on. But if they find out their bread's buttered on the side you're talking about, because they may lose their cushy jobs, then you make a difference. And everyone listening to my voice tonight needs to call your U.S. senators. I did mine today. Manchin and Capito. Capito's not going to vote for it. I found that out already. Manchin, I don't think will. The people I talked to didn't give any definite answer either way, but I was told by the gentleman answering the phone that Capito will not support this. So call your senators. If this passes the Senate, folks, it's 50-50 in the Senate. Call them, and if it passes, Biden will sign it. And you're going to find yourself facing lawsuits or jail time. And, brother, if you think you've been busy already representing people, if this passes, y'all going to have to hire some more lawyers.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. We can already see the uptake in individuals realizing just how far the government is willing to go in order to push whatever agenda wants, whether it's COVID closings or whatever other agenda. But now they're armed and partners with this LGBT agenda that will be dictating how they want the government to abuse us. And it's going to be in every agency. It's going to be the Department of Justice. It's going to be certainly in HHS, the Health and Human Services, as they have a transgender deputy secretary. It's going to be in the IRS. They're going to use the connection that they have to churches via 501c3s in order to get the IRS to attack these churches, attack these nonprofit organizations. It's going to be in the Department of Education. They're going to already in our schools, but they're going to use the force of federal government to force this into our schools. And yes, it'll be fines. Yes, it'll be removals from different areas of society, but ultimately it's going to be imprisonment. They want to force this issue so much so that any obstacle is out of their way. And the only way to do that is by locking us up. And that's ultimately what their aim will be as they use all of the force of government to push this agenda forward.
That means, folks, if you put your children in a Christian school, it makes no difference. They can be there.
It makes no difference. Right.
It makes no difference. And that's what we're seeing. You'll have no protection from sexual deviance for your little boys, little girls, or your wives. You'll have no protection. Not under the law you won't. You might stand up and fight them, but you end up in jail yourself. Right. And would this be considered a hate crime, John, if I get on the radio and preach against it if this passes?
Absolutely. So even in the language that you use, so if you're a church that employs people over 15, say you have 15 employees, or you're in a gathering, speech is considered discriminatory. And you can see that in Section 7 of the bill. It talks about speaking against homosexuality or helping individuals in your congregation that want to overcome same-sex attraction. Section 7 specifically talks about the speech, the words that are coming out of your mouth as being discriminatory. And I don't know if folks just heard me, but I'll say it again. The words coming out of your mouth will be considered discriminatory. It'll fall under the title allowing them to bring a claim against you, and you cannot use the Religious Freedom Restoration Act as a defense. You cannot say, my religion believes this way, speaks this way, and I believe it, and therefore I'm speaking it. That is no longer going to be a defense you can use in court. And that's the first time in our history that they're doing that.
Well, now, will this be a hate crime? Will you be penalized, put in jail for it?
So there are other provisions. That's a good point. There are other provisions already on the books that talk about specific hate crimes that have to do with violence. Usually it has to do with violence, targeted violence on an individual. This is the first time that they're using your speech itself as being discriminatory. Are they going to push this all the way to equating the two, saying your speech causes violence? They've done it in other contexts.
Sure they have.
I don't think they need this law to do it. I just think this is another arsenal they can use. I'm sure they can make the argument already. This just gives them another arsenal if there's pushback. And what it does in particular is anytime that would be raised in the past, you could use the Religious Freedom Restoration Act as a defense. You could say, no, it's not a hate crime. This is my religious belief, and this 1993 law protects me. Not anymore. This specifically targets the RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and says you cannot use it as a defense.
Well, you know, they've already put people in jail just for a hate crime speech or whatever, or maybe saying the wrong word to an individual. I despise when people are racist use people's race against them for any reason and use derogatory terms. That makes me angry. But when it comes to this, this is a whole different ballgame. This has nothing to do with race. It has to do with sexual perversion and the safety of our children. This is the safety of our very children, folks. Your daughters, your sons. And if you don't call your senators and tell them, hey, you're deadly opposed to this. I mean deadly opposed to it. Shame on you. Now, I cannot believe that this passed the House. I saw this number the other night on the news. I saw the guy behind the desk with the gavel said 200-some yeas and 100-some nays. And they slammed the gavel down and said that this bill's passed. And that made me angry. It's like he slammed the gavel down on my finger. That made me mad. They cannot, and I will not. They can do it. But, Jonathan, I can't go along with this. I can't shut up. I can't deny Christ. Right. To do so, according to Matthew 10, he did not deny me for my Father. His word is still his word, and I got to preach it wherever it is. And that's just what I'm saying. So your daddy may be one of the ones you're going to have to defend pretty soon. You might defend a hillbilly preacher down in West Virginia. But if this becomes law, everything in the country is going to change. It's going to change. Big time change.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And it's the pastors, of course. You know where my heart is, and you know that I'm concerned about pastors, but I'm also concerned about the individual that's, you know, selling products on a website from her home. You know,
sure.
Maybe it's Christmas time and she makes holiday candles that she sells on eBay. The discrimination applies to her as well in her operation of her business or putting things on her website, saying this is a, you know, Christ-friendly operation. Whatever it is, they'll be able to target that individual within her home and say, well, there's something of discrimination here. It's also perceived discrimination. So it doesn't have to be a concrete discrimination. Maybe she has a candle that says, you know, biblical marriage, or has Genesis 2 or Matthew 19, one of these passages that talk about biblical marriage on the candle. And someone says, well, this is perceived discrimination. They can go after her and use that as a means of targeting her, a claim against her. And once again, that individual candle maker just selling things online won't have a defense in the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So, yes, I'm concerned about pastors, but I'm concerned about how pervasive this law is, from the pastors to the candle maker to the students at school that certainly can't speak up against this lest they be ostracized by their peers. But also, if they find themselves in a bathroom or in a locker room with a person of the opposite sex, will have no way of saying, why is this person in the bathroom with me? Because this law and the federal law now gives that individual rights superior to their own.
Well, you know, this will put the final nail in the First Amendment.
Right, absolutely. You're absolutely
it will
right.
Destroy it. It'll be gone. There'll be none left. If you can't speak your Christian convictions, or that's it. The First Amendment's over. So,
right.
You know, this is so bad. Go ahead.
No, and we've seen it this year, right? They've already told churches, hey, you can't gather. They've told churches, well, you can gather, but you can't play your wind instruments. Well, you can gather, you can't play your instruments, and you can't sing or chant. And now the only place that they seemed to leave their hands off of was what the pastor can say from behind the pulpit. But now here is this bill that has them have total control over the operations of the church. So you're absolutely right.
Well, you know, you know where we meet. We don't have a big crowd, but we met this COVID hoax, and I don't say COVID is a real virus, but this hyped up to take over the whole world. This took over the world, folks, economically and every other way. The restricted freedoms, and when they told us we couldn't have Bible study or church together, we took a picture and sent it to the governor along with a letter, and I told him right up front, I don't work for him. He doesn't pay me. He's not my boss. We're gonna have church. He never replied. Mm-hmm. I've never worn a mask in public. I'm not gonna wear a mask in public. I've never had really in confrontation yet. I will not do that because that is another step in the direction of, all right, you comply. And this is sad, Jonathan. I'm afraid that a lot of churches, so-called churches, will comply because they say, well, it's a law of man. We got to obey it. That's not Bible, but that's what they think.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And it's those individuals that don't know that they should be standing up to this that I fear, that they are going about their daily activities thinking, that the country is going to defend them. But all the while, you have this bill that's sailing its way, already passed the House, sailing its way through the Senate, will be signed by the president if he gets a shot at it, that will severely undercut their ability to practice their faith. That's who I'm concerned about. And so I appreciate what this show is doing and hope that folks hear this, actually hear this, and do something about it while we still can.
Well, just one more question on private property. If I bring in a couple other people, couple, whatever, into my home for Bible study, it's not a public gathering, obviously, but if I bring people for Bible study, well, I guess it'd be the same thing at Phil's house, then they can come in any way they want to and be part of it, and we can't say anything about it.
They've said gathering, and they're good about not defining gathering. They're good about saying just gathering generally. And you have to look at the trend. How has gathering applied in other contexts? How have states and the federal government applied gathering in other contexts? And they've used that to go into homes during COVID and say, well, you're violating our law. At the time, it was just a COVID regulations and the number of gathering, but armed with the LGBT agenda and the definition of gathering on their books, they can come into your house. If there's an accusation of discriminatory practices within your gathering, and certainly try to enforce this law against you.
Oh, my gracious. Folks, I mean, please call you senators. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that, you know, folks that are going to a lake in order to do a baptismal, as we've seen in a public park, or, you know, you bring your church out to a public. This gathering can mean anything. I mean, any time
even in a private, on a private property with the creek in it, be the same thing, right?
Absolutely. Under
right,
a tent, private wedding, all across
the board.
It's
amazing. We're about out of time here. This is unbelievable. Please call your senators. What doesn't get or not, at least speak up. For God's glory and the sake of your children, speak up. Jonathan, down the last few seconds, what do you want to say in closing?
I certainly encourage folks to fight while it's still today, to fight while it's still daytime. We have the opportunity. We have the onus in front of us. Now's the time to stand up and fight against this.
Thank you, Jonathan Alexander, for Liberty Council. And I'll plug your program, I mean, your organization right away. We didn't know it tonight. Folks, back after the break with our guest, John Whitehead. Don't y'all go away. Thanks again, Jonathan. God bless. Bye-bye.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store with food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Strobel Foods, the only Strobel food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, and no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best storable foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Namana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Brothers, hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
All righty, folks, we are back. Again, this half hour, you are in for another treat. You heard the first half hour. You heard Jonathan Alexander at the Liberty Council, what's happening with the Equality Act is right now imminently facing, we're facing a destructionist country that we never can imagine. If this goes through the Senate, we are in trouble. Well, our guest this half hour is a gentleman I read on his literature. I've followed him for a long time. I admire his intelligence, his stamina, and his Christian character. His name is John Whitehead. He's the head of the Rutherford Institute, and you're about to be in for a treat, because I won't kind of shut up, and it's hard for me to do, y'all know that, and bring up John Whitehead to discuss what's on his mind tonight for the next half hour or so, to share with you what he sees coming, and to try his best to get you to understand where we are, and perhaps help people decide to stand up and tell the truth, no matter what the cost, because our children and grandchildren are depending on this. And John Whitehead, are you there?
Yes, I am.
It's right here. So good to have you. You know, you're a hard man tied down.
Well, I'm busy. We're running the Ruff Institute's a legal organization. We handle many cases, and we do a lot of educational stuff. We write a weekly commentary that goes all across the country, and we're involved in a lot of Supreme Court cases across the country. I've been in this since 1982. I was a young Christian at the time and started the group, and held the first homeschooling case in the country and won it. But I've done every basically kind of civil liberties work. Basically, today I'm doing free speech, trying to keep free speech alive and things that. But well, as I look at what's happening across the country with the schools and the government, basically, there's a certain caste, and what I would call it would be the deep state. That's what people inside the organization have sent here. Former NSA agents talk to me. There is a shadow government that's running the United States. It wants to change the country, basically, to fit into a global kind of scheme of what's going on. But you know, people are afraid to say certain words now. Children now don't study the Bill of Rights in school. They don't know what their rights are. And people say, well, why is that true? Well, why would you think it's true? If you don't study the Bill of Rights, you don't know you have the right to free speech, the right to freedom of religion, and down the, you don't have a right from unreasonable searches and seizures from government. And you go down the list. And, I mean, and I talked to lawyers today. They can't tell me basic rights. They just don't teach it anymore. And the question is, what has happened to the United States, and where is it headed? And from what I'm seeing is it's going downhill. There could be a lot of things happen now. We move more into a military state, by the way, too. If you look at the Capitol and cities around the country, they're calling in the National Guard now. It used to have local police that come in for some kind of protest. Now they're bringing in national armed troops with cannons and tanks and stuff like that. that should send a message to America that this is not the, it's not the America I grew up in. No,
it's not.
Not the America my father and mother grew up in. I mean, they would be shocked today if they saw what was happening to America. And I mean, we really need some people at the local level who will get involved and start changing their local governments and get them back to freedom and start teaching your kids, you know, their rights and start teaching them.
Well, Don, I want to say one thing here. Can you imagine what would have happened if your mom and dad, or your grandma and grandpa, would have saw two homosexuals kissing on a TV screen? What would have happened?
They would have been utterly shocked, yes. But,
yeah,
you know, that,
that's to say the least.
We're being, I mean, again, the culture is being altered, obviously, and I'm seeing people that used to, you know, we're starting to, with the COVID thing now especially, that's got a lot of people looking at everybody suspiciously now. So it's not sort of we the people. I keep telling Americans, the Constitution starts with three words, we the people. We are the government. We're supposed to work together. And you know, it's in God we trust, not in government we trust. And a lot of people now are just looking to government for all their answers. And that's a problem because government, as a Princeton University study showed with Northwest University, professors did a study of 20 years of laws passed in Washington, D.C., and their analysis came to this conclusion. We're governed by an economic elite of about 585 billionaires who are there to make money. And amazing thing that most Americans don't know, during this COVID crisis over the last year, the top 10 billionaires in America have become billionaires over and over again. They've made billions and billions of dollars off of the COVID crisis with all that's going on through their businesses. You look at Amazon, Jeff Bezos, and all these people. And we're not under people who used to hold values, let's say Judeo-Christian values, which, again, basically limit government and those kind of things. But we don't have, there's really no limit on government today. It can do whatever it wants to do, and that's basically where we're at. And they're forcing certain things on the American people, but the way it's being done through the schools, the kids today, like I say, have no idea. I mean, when I was a young kid, we were taught the Bill of Rights, we were taught our freedoms, and I had a good idea of what the Constitution was all about when I got out of high school. Today, they don't even learn that in law school.
That's true. That's true.
So what's happened? I mean, obviously, there's been a regime change. And with the Internet now taking over, and you've got Facebook, people like that canceling people for saying the wrong word, I mean, people we've defended and trying to help them out, but you know, Facebook comes up with this idea that they're a private corporation, they're not regulated by the Constitution, and the courts have been buying that so far. So they're going to be able to cancel, you know, you Pastor, if you say the wrong word on Facebook
That's
or whatever,
true.
They'll be able to cancel you completely.
That's right.
Blacklist you, they're calling it now.
Maybe and put me in jail one day if the Equality Act passes, I could be arrested for a hate crime.
You could, yeah, exactly. And like that's another thing, hate crimes, hate speech. I mean, I had really good friends that early people, the guy Nat Hinhoff, who was a good Jewish friend of mine who wrote for a lot of newspapers and stuff, I remember him calling me back about 20 years ago, and he said, John, where did this idea of hate speech come from? Hate speech, what is hate speech? Hate speech is anything that disagrees with the government. And then people say, what is conspiracy theories? Conspiracy theories or any theories that disagree with the government, basically. And who's the government? See, people don't realize that Amazon, IBM, Google all work with the federal government. They have billion-dollar contracts with the NSA, CIA to build their intelligence clouds. These groups, they have access to those clouds, all the information that... It's all the information about us, whatever the government collects, and they're downloading our phone calls now. They're watching everything we, you know, they're collecting all this information. All of us have a file. All of us on this phone call listening today, you have a file if you're on the Internet. So there used to be files on criminals, suspects, but now we live in a suspect society where everybody's a suspect now. You say the wrong word, you do this or that.
You're now guilty until you're proven innocent.
Exactly. And you have police showing up at people's doors in the middle of the night doing, you know, knock and talk, trying to, you know, a neighbor may have called and said, hey, this guy's got, I think he had a weapon. And the police are showing up and people are getting shot. You have 80,000 SWAT team raids occurring in America annually now.
Wow.
Where police are going through people's doors in the middle of the night. They're shooting up to 500 dogs a day. Kids are getting shot. Veterans. There's a great case of a terrible case, but it shows you what's going on, of a veteran. They were doing a marijuana sweep, police, of his home in Arizona, of his neighborhood in Arizona. They went into his house in the middle of the night. They threw flashbang grenades in. He hit his child and wife in the closet. He had the only weapon he had in his hands, his hunting rifle, standing in the, the hallway. The police saw him and fired 70 times, hit him over 50, and killed him.
My gosh.
You know what? No marijuana was found in his home. But and what happened to the police? Nothing. They had qualified immunity, they call it. And they used to have SWAT team raids of about 3,000 a year. And now it's up to 80,000. And what for? The FBI statistics now declare that American, basically, in terms of violence and those kind of things, crime is at an all-time low. So why are they doing that? They're being trained to do it. But like I say, they're getting very paranoid about what you're saying, what you're doing. People are getting shot in their front yard by holding a water nozzle. The police drive by and think it's a weapon, and they're shooting them.
These actually happened. I know one young black boy was carrying a play gun with the orange tipping end of it.
Yeah.
They thought it was a real gun and shot him.
Yeah, and people are getting shot. Police are seeing people in some of the bigger cities, and they look like they have a gun in their hand, and they've shot people who have cell phones in their hands.
Yeah.
But, again, the government's gotten really paranoid, over the last, 20 years. I mean, they have they're now the Department of Homeland Security has they look for right-wing extremism and left-wing extremism and on the internet or whatever. This is Department of Homeland Security. Operation Vigilant Eagle is a program where they watch all returning veterans. We've helped some veterans who have come back, and the government is tracking them, coming to their home. You know, if somebody says he's acting weird or whatever, and they've actually arrested some and taken them out of their homes. And that's happening in America. And most people don't know that there's a huge database called Maine Corps with millions and millions and millions of names that the government says they'll round up in times of distress, whatever that means.
Wow.
But they watch everybody. We're doing this interview today, I mean, if you're not already being watched now, you will be.
Oh, I guarantee
this will implicate you.
Yes.
They listen to everything. I mean, listen, they followed all writers, people that, novelists and stuff like that who write sci-fi novels and stuff. They're tracking everybody right now, trying to find out who they can. It's called predictive analytics. They're watching everybody to try to predict crime. There was a movie called The Minority Report.
Oh,
you haven't seen
that.
It. Yes. That's what it's about this day, and it's they're trying to predict crime and get people before they do a crime. But again, it's not police's job to predict crime. It's the police's job to protect and service. And by the way, they used to be on all the police cars. I saw today, I don't see it anywhere on a policeman's car. It's gone. And
wow.
I talked to a lot of young policemen that and others that have been in training in the police academies, and they say, John, they're training us militarily now, as if we were military units, SWAT teams with grenade launchers and stuff like that. And so America's moved into a whole entirely different scenario in the last 20 to 25 years, and it's not going to get any better.
Well, what do you see happening? I mean, what you're saying is all true, and a whole lot more that you don't have time to cover today. But you've been on the front lines for years. This month right now makes me 28 years in radio, and I started discussing these things back in 1993. And it's just steadily gotten worse. I mean, everything from police state to moral corruption. I remember one time I said, if we don't stop the homosexual movement now, they call it back in, of course, the gay movement. If we don't stop the homosexual movement now, they'll be legalizing homosexual marriage. And then they'll be allowed to adopt children. People got so mad at me that they threatened to burn down the radio station that I broadcast from. And now it's all come to pass. It's all happened. And I'm not necessarily a prophet, but I'm not a fool either. I can read the Bible. What do you see happening over the next two or three years with what's going on now with the Biden administration. What do you see happening to folks like you and I and pastors and Christians who won't back up?
Well, the way it's going, again, what you're doing and what you're saying is going to be watched even more. And if you disagree with the government in any way, you're going to be on a list. I mean, and that's gotten worse and worse and worse. And they're preparing for the worst scenario, by the way. Most people don't know this, but if you go to our website at Rutherford.org, I've written on this. The Pentagon put out a video a couple years ago, and it predicts by 2030 the country was going to totally break down, and the military is going to take it over. And you can see some, you know, forecasts of that. What we saw was the January 6th so-called riots and stuff like that. They're totally prepared. They even have a simulated town now at Fort Benning, Georgia. Well, I'm a former military officer. I trained there. It wasn't there when I was there. But they have a simulated town there like now where military and local police are trained to fight against domestic extremists, which are American citizens who would oppose them. And the Department of Homeland Security has purchased 1.6 million hollow point bullets, by the way, specially made for them, for their federal agents. 175 federal agents at least now are equipped with hollow point bullets, which expand on contact. If you saw John F. Kennedy get killed, his head flew off, basically half of it. That was a hollow point bullet. That's what they do. We're in a totally different scenario. These are all facts, by the way. If you go to our website, Rutherford.org, and I wrote a book called Battlefield America, which has all this information in it, the war against the American people. And again, that's what we're witnessing, a war against the American people. And people like George Orwell, who wrote a book, 1984, and I tell people, if you want to read a book that describes what's going on today, read that book, 1984. It's already happened. He wrote it back in the late 1940s. So it's all come to pass. And I would say that in terms of what I've seen, there are no limits now on people. They don't know how to think morally. Again, the old Judeo-Christian moral code is gone in the United States. It's not there.
John, I've said many times, without a moral basis, nothing can stand, whether it be a family or a community or a nation. Without a solid foundation on moral concepts that are universal, nothing can stand.
I agree with that. It's going to collapse. That's the thing. It's there were a lot of presidents before us. Ronald Reagan gave a few good speeches where he basically said he saw this coming way back, and I just rewatched those not too long ago, and they saw this happening, and Dwight Eisenhower warned. He said, do not let the military-industrial complex take over the country. That was in the late 1950s. And basically they have, but there is out of Washington, D.C., by the way. There's another study done in Washington, D.C. I should tell you about from Southern Methodist University that came out in 2018. But it tried to track, the professors did, tried to track where psychopaths gathered in the United States. And they came to the conclusion, basically, they congregated in Washington, D.C. And a psychopath is a person who has no moral values, basically. They can be very charismatic. People can love them, and they can appear to be wonderful. But they have no – they're there just for one thing, their greed and their money and whatever they want to do. And that's basically who rules Washington, D.C., over and over. And like I said, it's basically based on money. And again, you're talking to a lawyer, a constitutional lawyer myself. I've sued him out there for over 40 years, and I've seen it. I've talked to former intelligence agents who tell me these things. They see it, and they're worried about what's going to happen to the country. But the thing is, you have to understand, with the internet circling the globe, Google basically circles the globe now, works out of this country supposedly, works with the NSA and the CIA and all the intelligence groups that are part of the so-called deep state. And they work with the Chinese government as well, by the way. And we're moving sort of, I think, following basically a Chinese-type model in this country. Social credit scores, you know what those are in China. If you do something they don't like the government, you can't travel, you can't buy, you know, stuff like that. And that's basically where we're headed in this country right now. If you say the wrong word or do whatever, you're going to be shunned. You have again, in the public schools today, you can't have Christmas. And many of them, they don't celebrate Christmas anymore. They don't have Christmas trees. They're called community trees. You know, and I've asked people before over that. Again, I had a fellow call me 3 or 4 years ago who said that at his Christmas party, people whispered Merry Christmas. They wouldn't say it out loud.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
where we are. That's where we are. I mean, everything now is racist. I mean, Mr. Potato Head was sexist. Dr. Yep. Seuss is racist. Everything you do or say is racist. Mathematics are racist. Is racist.
You can't disagree with the powers that be. But see, that's the whole point of the Bill of Rights. The First Amendment says yes, you can disagree, and that's one reason the kids are not being taught them. You know, you have a right to, you know, peacefully assemble and petition your government for a redress of grievances. You have a right to tell the government you don't like them. You have a right to tell the police if they do something wrong you think they stink. You have a right to do those things.
I think it's more than that. I think it's a duty to do that.
So it's definitely your duty, and that's what I'm saying here. Americans, parents, I'm telling parents this, teach your kids the Bill of Rights at home. You can go to our website for a donation of anything. We give away a Bill of Rights pamphlet that explains the Bill of Rights. Listen, the Bill of Rights is only 462 words. If you're a slow reader, it takes you about 5 minutes to get through them if you have to read them out loud. If you can zip through them, it takes about a minute. But inside those Bill of Rights is your right to be free from home invasions by the police. You have a right to religion, freedom of religion. You have a right to freely speak your mind. And this is to the government. And what I'm saying is the 10th Amendment says that local governments can nullify acts of the federal government. I'm telling you, local governments, don't put up with the stuff coming out of the federal government. You can nullify it. Just pull your city council together and vote and say, we're not going to follow this. We're going to stop letting the police crash through doors in the middle of the night, shoot dogs, kill people. We're not going to allow that anymore. They're going to have to get a warrant. 80% of those SWAT team raids I'm talking about, those 80,000 SWAT team raids, is where a policeman used to show up at your door and say, hey, with a warrant in their hand. But now they're just doing it willy-nilly and getting away with it. But why are they getting away with it? Because we, the people, are allowing it to happen.
That's right. Well, you know, we're starting to see some kickback. I live here in West Virginia, and I guess you call us a backward state, and I like it here because we are. We have total constitutional carry here for the, you know, I can carry a gun in my pocket on my hip. Makes no difference. But right now, and before our House, they introduced a bill to counteract any federal gun laws, to rescind the 1934 Gun Act and 1968 Gun Control Act. It's in a bill to do away with the Controlled Carry Act in 1968 and 1934. So there are some states starting to kick back, and thank God maybe we're one of them. But, you know, John, this is something, the duty we have is not just for our children, it's to our God. I mean, he's the one that gives blessings if we obey him. If we do his will, we wouldn't have murdered 100 million babies already. We wouldn't tolerate
it. Yes. And a lot of the things that we're doing around the world, too, we're doing.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely. Absolutely.
The United States drops about 100,000 bombs in the Middle East and areas of the world. Women, children are getting killed. But the people that are making the bombs and the money who run out of Washington, D.C., make a lot of money off of that. So there are a lot of things that this government's doing that it's, you know, if you want to call it Judgment Day or whatever is coming, it's coming. And I think those things can be reversed is what I'm saying. But people are going to have to open their eyes, wake up, and see what's before them. And it's going to take a lot of work, but it's going to have to start at your local level, because Washington, D.C. does not listen. Washington, D.C. is run by people who want to make money. And as we move into the digital age now, where everything, you know, everything we're doing is being tracked. I mean, our bodies or whatever. Google now says that by 2029, our minds are going to fuse with the Internet. So you're going to have people who are just basically robots. And that's coming, by the way.
I've
seen more and more of that.
It's
already started. Well down the tracks, yes. And when you're having what we're seeing happen today, I mean, we only have a few years, and if people don't start moving, I think conversations we're having right now someday may be illegal.
Oh, I don't doubt that. Well, we have to have this on my back deck out in the middle of the woods. Nobody can hear what we're saying. And then we want to be sure because everything you do is somewhere or another is a microphone.
If you have an electronic device around you, yeah.
Yes.
They can read everything. I mean, they can pick up what you're saying, what you're doing. They have facial recognition cameras all across the country now, everywhere in stores, on streets that read your emotions. They track you when you go in a store, out of a store, wherever you're going. When you go to a political rally, let's say you're going to a rally of a radical, if they want to call it, they track you. They know. They have license plate readers that follow
yes.
you. So
yes.
it's we live in a basically a surveillance state now, and it's only getting worse as the technology increases, and is increasing at a rapid pace.
Well, you know, brother, you and I are about the same age, and we grew up in a time in the 1950s. I was born in 48. I think you were born about 46. But the 1950s, early 60s were still a little bit of time of innocence in this country. I know it was changing by then. I realize that. But there was still some morality left. There was some innocence left. And I wrote a book. My first book had a chapter in it, the 1950s, the last decade of innocence. And that's where it started changing. But who could ever believe that in our lifetime this nation could change from what we saw when we were in the school in the 1950s to what it is today? Could you imagine that 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago?
Yeah, I never would imagine. The kids I talk today who are afraid to say words, they tell me there's 10 words in their school they can't say. They go down the list. You know, again, if you allow the government to tell you what you can or cannot say, you stop thinking. And the importance of free speech is so important, you know, again, vital to today. Free speech
that's
thinking. People should have a right to come up to you, and if you're picketing or whatever, argue with you and disagree with you. You should be able to disagree with government officials.
Sure.
That makes them think. And thinking is the key thing to getting people to think. But see, here, listen to this. The average American watches 150 hours of television a month.
Oh, yes. They do.
Plus screen devices.
We're down to the last minute. Tell people how they can contact your organization. This is very important. Folks, write this down. Tell them how they can contact you.
Go to Rutherford.org. That's Rutherford.org. Sign up for our weekly newsletters. Follow us on Twitter. And get educated. Education precedes action, folks.
Amen. God bless you, sir. Thank you for being with me today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
We'll talk to you soon. Tell your lovely wife I said hello. All right, folks, we will see you Monday, see you in the office tomorrow. Don't forget to call tomorrow between 8 and 9, 9 8 Central Eastern Time. Love to see you. Bye-bye.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.